fact about the Gemara previously said that even flavors that were absorbed into earthenware can be removed with intense heat. The Gemara asks, why is it that earthenware pots in the Beis HaMikdash had to be broken after the korbanos were cooked in them? Why couldn't we just put them back into the kiln, the furnace that we used to make pottery, and purge the flavors? And the Gemara there said it's because we don't make kilns in Yerushalayim, because their smoke would blacken the walls of Yerushalayim. Fakmar Abaye asked, breaking all these kilns would make a garbage pile in the Azara, also something we were not allowed to do. But the Gemara says that Abaye forgot the brisa that was taught by Shmaya in Kalbanoi that said that the broken pieces of the earthenware kiln were actually miraculously absorbed into the ground where they were. Fakmar, we quoted the statement of Rav Nachman named Rabbi Bar Avuha, who said that the oven in the Beis HaMikdash was made of metal. Why couldn't it have been made of earthenware, since an oven is fired up on the inside and therefore effectively removes the absorbed flavor? And for the Gemara, the reason is that the lechem aponim and the shtei lechem were baked in the oven and became kadosh in that oven. Meaning, the oven was the keli that made them kadosh, and there was no other klisharas that was used for them. So the oven was therefore, was their klisharas, and we don't make klisharas out of earthenware. And even according to Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, a klisharas could be wood, but it can't be earthenware. Yitzchak Bar Yehuda used to learn as a Talmud by Rami Bar Chama, but he left and went to learn by Rav Sheshes. When he met Rami Bar Chama, he explained that he left because Rami Bar Chama would answer questions based on logical reasonings, which could be refuted by a Mishnah or a Brisa, whereas Rav Sheshes would always answer based on a Mishnah or a Brisa, which can't be refuted by another Mishnah or a Brisa. Rami Bar Chama told him to ask anything because he wanted to show him that he'd be able to answer based on logical reasoning that could be sustained by a Mishnah or a Brisa. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda asked, if a carbon was cooked using only part of a metal pot, would the entire pot be required to be purged and rinsed or not? Rami Bar Chama said, only the areas used for cooking would be subject to purging and rinsing, just like we see that only the part of the garment on which the blood splattered is subject to washing. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda asked, the cases are not similar because blood does not spread in the garment, whereas flavor can spread throughout the metal keli. He asked further that Brisa says that the chumrah of the purging and rinsing requirement over the washing requirement is that purging and rinsing applies to kachi kachim and kachim kalim, and that even if only part of a metal pot was used for cooking, the entire pot has to be purged and rinsed. Rami Bar Chama said, if there's a Brisa that says so, I stand corrected. The Gemara says that the word bikli in the pasuk of bikli nechoshes teaches that even if only part of the keli was used for cooking, the entire keli has to be purged and rinsed. Mishnah said echad kachi kachim v'chulu. A brisa says the pasuk says chatos, which teaches that a pot in which a chatos was cooked requires purging and rinsing. How do I know the same is for all karbanis? The pasuk says kodesh kadoshim hi. We would think to include a pot in which truma was cooked as well. The pasuk therefore says oisa, which comes to exclude truma. This is the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon says the words kachi kachim teach that only kachi kachim require purging and rinsing, but not kachi kalim. Rabbi Yehuda says that if oisa is needed to exclude truma, it must be that kachi kalim are included in this requirement. Rav Shimon, you know, he says oisa, he uses that for another drasha, and therefore he does not have this type of reasoning. Frekenwar Brisa says that the truma flavor absorbed into a pot makes the pot also to be used for cooking for chulin, for a non-kayan, for a zar. We see that truma does require purging. And for the Gemara, Abaye said, when they say that purging is not required for truma, they're referring to the requirement that the entire pot has to be purged even if only part of the pot was used for cooking. Rava said, when they say that purging is not required for truma, they're referring to the requirement that the purging of karbanis must be done with water, not with wine or even diluted wine. But for purging of truma, even wine or diluted wine could be used. Rabbi Bar Ula said, when they said that purging is not required for truma, they're referring to the requirement that after purging the flavor of the karbanis using hot water, there's an additional requirement of purging and rinsing with cold water. It's this additional requirement that's not needed for truma. Fekmer Rabbi Bar Ula's answer only works according to the view that there's an additional purging and rinsing of cold water that's required for karbanis. According to the other view, what would he answer? After the Gemara, there's still a requirement for a rinsing with cold water after the purging of the flavor of the karbanis. That additional rinsing is not needed for truma.